Prelude, the introductory volume of the Squeeze Shot Saga by the Reverend Professor Henrietta A., a pseudonym. Read by the author, Marcus Parsons. Dedication to victory and to all as she would wish if she were still alive. Preface to all. Arrived suddenly, hasn't it? In your life and everyone's. Bang! Quite a shot by vessel. A delight to some, a shock to all. He and I have created Squeeze Shot to accompany it. May you enjoy. The Reverend Professor. Introduction. It springs once again from the absurd and restless mind of Vassal Squeeze Shot. He kept it within him for decades. We thought that it would die there. But now he has done what most of us would not. He has revived it and turned it loose, allowed it to escape his sanctuary. It is reborn, this time to all of us. It is getting at us, and we at it. We begin at a distance, as its audience. We stand together, lean toward it, and squint to see. How much of it has he rebuilt? Is it the same as it was? Has he changed its powers? Last time, it was tiny, wireless. It could fly anywhere at his command, cross any border, and enter any room. It could watch and listen to anything, and transmit to him everything that it saw and heard. This time, it will be similar, we expect, able to do as much, maybe more. But we do not know, not yet. We cannot make it out. Cannot even be sure that it is what we think it is. But it must be. It comes so much the same. Its monstrosity. Its sudden eminence, its charm. Even far away, it looms. Will it do what it threatened or promised last time, what it could have done but did not, alter our senses of ourselves and each other, change how we think, feel, and behave? If so, will that be good for us or bad? Will it lead us to glory or to loss? And why, after so many years, has he decided to give it to us? He suffered so much because of it. He understands the risks so well. Why does he wish them upon us? What is he thinking? We peer at it. What beast is this? Is it the thing itself, small as a mosquito, which he could hold between his thumb and fingertip? Or more its aura, penumbra of our fear and hope, shadow cast by light unseen? It acts alive. It wanders, pivots, changes direction. Is it searching for us? It stops, tilts, forward, we presume, and steps ahead, as if onto a surface. It steps again, faster, and breaks into a run. It curves one way, then another, as if unsure. Then it finds its mind, or it seems to. It speeds up and carves a turn until it is coming right at us. It wobbles, steadies itself, and accelerates more. It runs hard. Its muscular strides stretch across the distance. Or it comes more compact. It rolls, bounces, and bustles in cursive hurry. Or it touches nothing, flies straight and true as simplest thought, zap, as if it occupies less than a single dimension. Or it comes low, scraping the earth in a zigzag skid, unruly and unpredictable, as the dragging butthole of a shit itchy dog. Or what? What else? What other? We do not know. It confounds us. It demands more clairvoyance than we possess. We know that not all that is real is visible. We know that, like anything, it may be illusion. But we do not know enough. Our senses do not tell us more, and our imaginations fail us. It rushes onward. Does it stir up dust? Is there ground beneath it? Or does it approach us from on high, borne through the air like one of Vassal's angels? Or comes solitary, naked, stark as a jewel, a burning light, an infant that writhes in vast and immaterial space? Yes, that's it. It is an infant, a stomach with a brain, desirous of every mother. See it stare. Is it staring at us, or only we at it, or we at ourselves? All three, I would not doubt. We are facing points of view, a chorus of it. Its possibilities converge and combine in flux. It is a wave as much as it is object, and idea as much as either. From what sea does it swell? What ocean does it overflow? What impels its flood unspeakable? What sends its surge to our backward-flowing river to wash our contrary tide? We can suggest answers, but we cannot say for sure. We must confront what appears. We must summon what knowledge of it we can and make do. It is coming at us head-on, so that it appears foreshortened. We cannot judge its distance from us. But we do not doubt its speed, strength, and fury. It seems increasingly vivid to us, as if soon we will make sense of it. We want to jump ahead in time, bring it near, see it whole, and know what its impact upon us will be. But we cannot. We cannot act, cannot move. We can only remain where we are, in its path. We are disarmed and unready, incapacitated, as if by sleep, injury, or death. Bemused, perhaps, by a perverse contentment, some complacency from which we have not awakened. Our feeling changes to dread. We are on our own with it, each of us. We want to see it gone, be free of it, but that is impossible. It is not going away. It is attacking us, and we cannot avoid it. We live at its mercy, like lambs before the knife. Its imminence narrows our focus and sharpens our view. We see no kindness in it, no consideration, no sign that it even perceives us, much less that it recognizes us or cares about us. It seems to come at us without purpose, by coincidence, unintended by any agency, its own or any other's. It keeps coming. It does not slow down. It is almost upon us, about to hit us. We fear that we are facing a mortal blow. We tense every muscle and cast our minds away. It races to our feet, where it stops. We recoil. We cannot move our legs. We may fall over backward. We twist, teeter, bend, wave our arms like clowns at a precipice. We remain standing, but barely. We look down. It has stopped, inches away from us. It does not move or make a sound. We do not dare to breathe. We look more closely. We see a beast of vague boundary, still no detail. It moves. We see legs, muscles, paws, claws, or we think we do. It gathers itself downward and presses into the ground, as if prostrating itself to us. Now we see no legs or paws, no body, and still no head or face, but we see eyes, or what pass for them, shapes that shine within shapes. Does it see us? Does it know us? We cannot tell. It may possess senses as keen as ours, or it may possess none, its eyes inert, ornamental, able only to reflect us back to ourselves. We are afraid. We fear that it will rise up, seize us, and carry us away to we know not where, or that it will knock us down, spill our blood, rip at our vitals, and devour us, strewing our bones, hair, teeth, nails, and remnant scraps of flesh across memorial earth. We want desperately to plumb its mysteries and gauge its intent, but we cannot. We can only continue to ask ourselves, what creature is this, and what might it do to us? And when? Our fear is not all that blossoms. Sound, too, slides through. We hear a hiss of inhalation. The creature is alive, or it may be. Or is that sound our own? We watch and listen more. It moves again, expands and contracts as if breathing. Or is that, too, a product of our fevered attention? We perceive its mass, and we feel its momentum. It appears more solid to us than anything we've ever seen, more real than what we call reality, as undeniable as words on a page. But still we do not know what it is, whether it lives, and what it may do. No evidence accrues, no science applies. Our senses are too weak, and our concern too great. It remains at our feet, almost touching us. Might it kill us? Has it killed us already? We wait and we watch, doubting everything, until it leaps, closing the gap. It sprawls upon us and embraces us, immersing us in our amazement. It pierces us, penetrates us, enters us, and uncoils within us. Its warmth combines with ours. Our minds commingle with its strangeness. We confuse everything, self with other, ours with its, like lost children in search of the familiar. Where will that end? Are we regressing toward infancy and birth, the womb, the egg and sperm, and then? It has struck us hard. But the pain we feel is negligible. Our disorientation has grown faint. We are falling toward sleep or toward death. Are we about to die? We're not unhappy, but we wonder whether we should try to stay awake and whether we can. Alarm stirs within us and rings out calamity, but we cannot hear. It ends. We move. In a dream or not, we open our mouths to scream. We raise our hands in self-defense and lean back over our heels as if to lie flat and disappear. But nothing remains of us. The beast has become us, our faces its masks. Our actions have become gestures, vacant, vestigial, without intent if they're happening at all. We do not know anything, ourselves or any other. Our thoughts lie empty, our memory gone, all husks of remembrance fallen away. Our bodies and minds have changed without direction. Our hopes have vanished, and we do not miss them. We do not miss anything that is absent. Mind, everyone's mind, does what it always does. It looks in, looks out, doesn't look, never looks. It sees everything and more, always more. And it sees less, too, always less. Less than anyone can imagine. Less than words can say. Less than nothing. Chapter 1. Out. An hour before dawn, Vassal Squeeshot and I drift in starlight through the river's mouth. We stand together in our boat and look upon shadows. The current runs silken, black. It muscles past the whirlpool eddy, sweeps skinless around the last stone point of land. The old fort hunkers at the edge, in mist this August night. The block walls glisten, the iron gun ports molder. At the other shore, 300 yards opposite, granite ledges, bruised the flow, lie dark against the jitter of water. Beyond them, a forest of evergreens rests on its carpet of earth. The boughs of spruce, fir, and pine trees hang motionless. They shelter gloom and counsel sleep. We cannot sleep. We've been awake all night. We may stay awake for days. Vassal murmurs to me, "Now that we've done the deed, Reverend, we may not rest much. We may not want to. We may not be able to." I look up at him. I see only his silhouette. It towers against the stars. He could be a cloud overhead, a storm brewing, or he could spread more distant among the galaxies, a being so massive that no light can escape him. Later today, when people everywhere discover what he has done, they may believe no less. But he's no such thing. I can attest to that. I've lived and worked with him for more than 30 years, since the 1970s, when his story last led the news. I would have noticed. He is human, neither more nor less. He is unusual, certainly, but who isn't?